Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down near the Georgia, Florida line, all my folks down in Eufaula. How you guys doing? This is Teddy Reese with Sunday Conversation. Hope you guys are ready for an exciting conversation today. We're going to recap the most recent election results and have a conversation about it. Of course, we know that Columbus serves as a very important regional city for West Georgia as well as East Alabama. Many people from far down as Eufaula, from as far north as LaGrange, from as far west as Tuskegee, and as far east as Butler and Butler, Georgia, Taylor County, those areas, they come to Columbus because this is a center hub where we have a lot here from an economic perspective that serves them. So our leadership matters. You know, who we have represents Columbus matters. The tone that we set as elected officials, that is so critical. So today we're going to have a brief conversation about the election results. We're going to talk about some surprises. If you haven't heard, I'm sure you've probably heard it, but it's good to just recap it sometimes and actually talk about the numbers. And I got with me today here in the studio, two of my sidekicks when it comes to elections, man. When we get to talk about politics, I have to get these two on the phone quite often because I certainly value their opinions. And so I have with me today my good friend Wayne Hales. How you doing, Wayne?
I'm great, Teddy. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, I'm glad to have you in. I want to officially welcome you to the Davis Broadcasting family. I know you're hosting a show on KD 92.7, right?
That's right.
What's the name of that show, Wayne?
Take a Stroll Down Memory Lane with Wayne.
Stroll Down Memory Lane right. With Wayne.
Motown soul and classic R&B.
And you know what I love, Wayne, about it is that when I see you on Facebook Live, you be in character with it. You know, you have all your wig and your attire. And
my little dashiki.
Your dashiki and everything. And you know, you're making it happen. So I appreciate that. And you know,
thank you.
It comes through in the music because you be jamming, brother. I ain't know you had it in you.
Oh, better ask somebody.
Clearly, I need to ask somebody. But I don't need to ask nobody now because I have first-hand knowledge.
All right. Well, I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. But we thank you for all that you do, and certainly for your opinion pieces and your paper, and you know, and how you write truthfully about the community. You know, whether it's hard to listen to or not. You know, sometimes we need to digest a little, you know, serum of truth. You know, so I appreciate that. And I also have with me Dominic Perkins, a great friend of mine. Dominic is far more one of the most advanced political gurus here in the Columbus area. I mean, this man has done extensive work for Congressman Bishop. He's worked on statewide U.S. Senate candidate campaigns. He's done a lot of local races. He's been to tons of training all in Washington, D.C. and the Blue Institute under current Democratic nominee Stacey Abrams. I mean, this man here is just doing it up from the political perspective. Dominic, how you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
We are so glad to have you in the building. Let's talk about the elections. First of all, let me just say, phew.
Yeah.
For the most part, we've gotten through. We got a couple of runoffs coming up here that we're going to talk about shortly. But let's talk about some races that pretty much wasn't a surprise. You know, kind of went the way that a lot of people expected it to go. And I know, Wayne, you made some endorsements. So this District 3 race with Bruce Huff and Juanita Upshaw, I think was the last name, Bruce carried that district pretty strong.
Yeah. That was not a surprise for me because he was unknown. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and Bruce has name recognition. You know, it's going to be hard to beat Bruce.
Right.
Huff. Bruce the Huff name.
Okay. Now, District 4 school board race, that race, too, wasn't as close as a lot of people thought it was going to be, you know. But we had Naomi Buckner running against Toya Tucker. And so, Naomi Buckner, congratulations to you and congratulations to Bruce Huff again. And I also want to thank Juanita Upshaw and Toya Tucker, too, and all of our candidates, because it takes a lot to give yourself up for public service.
Yeah.
You're right. And when you're out there campaigning, you're criticized, you're scrutinized, you're looked at with a fine-tooth comb. And so it takes a lot to be a candidate. And I think from this last election cycle, especially on the mayoral level, we have learned that they will dig.
Yes.
They will dig, they will dig, they will dig, and they will uncover and they will reveal.
You're right. Yeah.
I mean, you had one political candidate for mayor didn't have not one yard sign out in the city, but she was filing court documents and lawsuits and stuff. But we'll talk about it. I don't want to drop the gun here. Yeah. But that District 4 school board race, Dominic, what you thought about that one?
Well, again, I think it's another situation where you have a candidate with a recognizable name. The Buckner name, Buckner family, is very well known in Columbus. Naomi's been in office for a while. And it's just difficult. Columbus, you know, tends to favor incumbents. It's very rare that we see an incumbent upset in a race like that. And it just didn't work out. It just didn't work out for Toya in this case. So I think that has a lot to do with the high name ID. Very well known in the community, very well trusted, I think is a big part of it. People are comfortable with people they trust and are familiar with, and I think that helped Naomi out a lot in this race.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And okay. It's sort of like that movie, Distinguished Gentleman, The Name You Know.
Mm-hmm.
You got the name you know, that's the name we're going to vote for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, and that was interesting. And let's jump to the District 1 race for city council, where we had Pop Barnes running against Bishop Blue. Mm-hmm. And I know that visually, you know, a lot of people were wondering, you know, when was Pop going to campaign? Mm-hmm. And you know, I think Bishop Blue mentioned something about that, and it may have been about 2 weeks before the election that we saw signs go up, but it didn't seem to matter.
Mm-hmm. Pop Barnes campaigns year-round. Mm-hmm. Okay. He walks the street, you know, and I didn't endorse him, but I know now that Pop, look, I have to give Pop props. Y'all know, because I write about Pops all the time, but I even put in my paper, you've got to give Pops props, because he walks the streets every day. Right. He doesn't wait till election time.
Right.
He's at the Walmart. He's waving. He just might be the hardest. I got to give it to him. He probably is the hardest. I don't care what you say. What I say about him now,
right,
the bottom line is the only people going to beat him would be Taylor, International Funeral Home, Scania. That's the only way he gonna lose. He got to go.
Well, you know,
but and I'm not trying to be a omen. I'm just saying he's there.
I
got until
you.
He wants to step in.
He has a strong stake in the ground.
There we go.
You know, yeah. I can accept that. I understand that. You know, and I got to say something about you know, both Pops and Blue. I've had interactions with both of them. As a matter of fact, you know, Pops have helped me out with quite a few things, and they're both great people. And one thing that I don't like about politics is that, and this is not everybody, but some people tend to make it personal. And they feel that, you know, if you support one candidate, then you can no longer be social or mm-hmm. or nice or mm-hmm. even speak to the other person. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true, you know. And so
we tend to do that.
Yeah,
but we understand in politics, no permanent enemies, no permanent friends. Mm-hmm. So you're right. As family members, folks break up families because of that. It's like it's an election.
Yeah,
see, somebody has to win, somebody has to lose.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. I don't speak. You know, it's like, I'm mad at you for something you did to me in the eighth grade.
Yeah.
So we just know.
Yeah, I still talk to people involved in politics in Columbus who are talking about stuff from 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Like they're upset with somebody about something that happened in 1998 or something like that. And it's not a good way to go. Now the other thing I want to say about the Pops and Blue race is, mm-hmm. I always tell people that city councilors. City councilors and city council candidates really win their races between the elections. So it's not that 4 to 6 month period before election day where you win. It's the 3.5 years mm-hmm. in between is where incumbents stay in office and where people who want to challenge an incumbent have the opportunity to show that they're involved and engaged in the community mm-hmm. and that they're actually out there doing the things that need to be done, because it's not really just as simple as throwing your name on the ballot and hoping to run for office. The other thing about Pops, like Wayne mentioned, Pops is out in his community, and I always tell people the number one thing you can do when you're running for office, knocking on doors, those personal relationships, making the knock, having a conversation with somebody, getting to know them, is the most valuable thing you do. Probably the least valuable thing you do is the stuff that people talk about the most, like yard signs, billboards, all of that type of stuff. That's all secondary, secondary to creating those personal relationships. That's really what campaigns are about. And that's why Pops does so well, because he has those personal relationships built with people.
I got you. I got you. Makes sense. I tell you, you know, there's a lot of dynamics to winning elections. And I tell you, you know, I got two people in the room with me that right now that knows inside and out of elections and how they work. It's more than just putting your name on the ballot and being popular on your street. It takes a lot more than that. You know, as a matter of fact, a couple of years ago, we saw a Senate candidate in the state of South Carolina who didn't campaign not one bit, but he happened to win that Democratic, Alvin Green happened to win that Democratic nomination. That was one of the craziest things ever. But, you know, politics can be very, very weird and very strange. But keep it on. We're gonna move on here. And of course, I have to just mention that Charmaine Crabb will be the representative from District 5. She didn't have any competition, so there was no contest over there. But was it Mike Baker who decided not to seek?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mike Baker decided not to seek re-election, and so Charmaine Crabb was ready to roll out. And I have to give her props too, because she still campaigned, though she had no competition.
Absolutely.
She still put out signs.
Yeah.
She still showed up at forums. She talked with the voters, and regardless of what you may feel about her, you got to be appreciative of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because she showed that, you know, she's still going to be out there with the people. So thank you, Ms. Crabb, for doing that. And let's look at here. Let's go over to the District 6 school board race. We actually had three candidates, and we had one to drop out, and that left Mark Cantrell and Dr. Overton, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. What you thought about that race, Wayne?
I thought that it was unfortunate that Robert Roth dropped out, because I think if he had stayed in, the thought was that they would split their vote and Eddie would have a better chance of winning, or at least there'd be a runoff.
Mm-hmm.
I think, because Eddie didn't really do that much either, and I think he was sort of deflated when he dropped out. But he still did pretty good, though. So, I don't know, really.
Yeah, that was actually... That was a close race, closer than I had initially expected, just based on the demographics of the district.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of felt like Eddie had a uphill battle, and I was in the elections office on election night, and that race was close until pretty close until one or two precincts came in. And in fact, I think in terms of, I think early vote numbers, they were almost split
50,
even.
50-50, yeah. 921 to 900 at one point in time.
Yeah, so that was a very, very close race. I think, you know, Eddie should be proud of what he was able to do in that district, in my opinion. So I hope he will, you know, consider offering himself up in some way at some other point, because I think he did a good job. And it proves that he's very well respected.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go up here to District 9, which isn't a physical district in the city. It's the entire city, because those are two of our at-large seats for school board and city council. Let's look at city council District 9. We had Judy Thomas and Reggie Liparetto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I interviewed both of them, and I like Reggie. But you know how you go into a thing and you don't know someone and you end up talking with them, and, like, you know, somebody may not know you, end up talking with you, may not can't stand you.
Mm-hmm.
And you get finished, oh, Teddy, all right. Well, that's what I found with Judy.
Mm-hmm.
I be honest, I always thought Judy was just racist, so-and-so. She might be. She has said some crazy comments.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her about it. You know, and I mean, my question was straightforward. But when I got finished, I'm like, you know. She, you know, and I know people are going to disagree with that.
Yeah,
I understand, but then I found out some other things about her, mm-hmm. how she's done some other things in the black community.
Yeah, she's done a lot of work that she doesn't
necessarily. She spent her own money.
Don't necessarily advertise.
Right, you know, a lot. Yeah. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, there's a scholars group that she work a lot with.
Her own money.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. Yeah. So, you know, that... And then she said some things like she wasn't planning on being long. You know, we all say that. But I like Reggie. And I think Reggie needs to, hopefully she'll run again.
Yeah. Well, you know, we need to just calm down and talk about having drones over the city to monitor crime and stuff. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, and then maybe, you know, we can have a more reasonable conversation. But,
okay. Okay.
You
know, oh, well, see, I can really go in, but yeah.
Judy, I refer to her sometimes. She's a tough cookie. Mm-hmm. She really is. And sometimes she slips and say things that she shouldn't say, but.
Like an old white woman would say.
Like old.
Excuse me. You know, because they don't know. Because they don't know, you know, in their minds they're saying the right thing. I mean, not just old white women. I didn't mean that way, but they write you old, but it's okay. But you know what I'm saying?
But she will talk with you about it.
Right.
Because that time that, I made a Facebook post about something she said in the paper, she and I had a very respectful and professional dialogue about it. And I appreciate her for having the conversation. She could have looked at me and said, well, who he think he is,
you know?
But she didn't do that. You know, we had a great conversation, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, and she's
and
called me.
I don't forget things like that. Yeah,
she's called me when, if I've written something about her, like, so I never really talked with her. And I said, hey, I never really talked with you. I know. And so, you know, but she's like that. She will confront you in a way, hey, that's not right. Wait, now, this is what's going on. So that's, I like that about her, too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up the elections here. We're going to finish talking about the elections. We saved some big ones for last because, you know, if we would have started with those, we probably wouldn't have gotten to anything else. So we're going to force ourselves into the conversation. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I'm here with Dominic Perkins and Wayne Hales, and we're recapping the most recent election here in Columbus, Georgia. So just be stick with us. We'll be right back.
62% of medications purchased online are fake, and many contain toxic ingredients like antifreeze, floor wax, and house paint.
You're kidding, right?
They're toxic. It's something that humans should not be eating or drinking.
I want to take medication to stay healthy, not make me a lot sicker.
The good news is you can be sure your online pharmacy is safe if you see .pharmacy in its web address.
So if I see .pharmacy,
it's legit.
Learn more at safe.pharmacy, a public service from NABP.
Welcome back to Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. We're here recapping the elections. If you haven't heard the elections, we've had them here in Columbus, and we've got a couple going into a runoff. We're going to talk about those shortly, but right now we're talking about those people who had victories, and we're going to pick back up with District 9, but we're going to shift over to the school board. I think Kia Chambers was probably the biggest winner of the day.
I had to send her congratulations, because she received 81 votes, if I'm right. I know you the numbers man. From what I saw that night, she had received 81 votes less than all of the mayoral candidates combined. I'm like, I was like, okay.
You know, she ran very strong, and I really think it's a message, because I think people appreciate her youthfulness. I think they appreciate her sternness and her ability to make her own decision, because even when folks thought that she was in a certain camp, she showed with other votes that I am my independent thinker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I think it did, you know, send a message. You know, it was very, she was dominant in the race, won every precinct in the race. And so I think when you have, that's the first time I've seen an African-American candidate do that in a long time, where she won every precinct in the city. And so being able to do that is not an easy task. It's a pretty difficult thing to do. So,
you know, there's dynamics to that, because I think politicians have to figure out where do they fit in, what's their lane. And I think Kia has figured out that the school board is her lane. That's where she works well. And Wayne, you, please talk.
She didn't have any competition. She was going to win anyway. Now, she won big, yes, but she didn't have any competition. I mean, and she was going to win. She was going to win. Bottom line, but I will say this, and I told her that. I mean, I wrote it. If she had had another candidate, qualified candidate, to run against her, I don't think she would have won. But Columbus, Georgia, there wasn't going to be anybody who was going to step up and run against it. Nobody black. So, she, you know, we just don't, they won't do that to her. They wouldn't. That's my opinion.
I, you know, Wayne, I love you.
Okay.
Totally disagree.
Okay.
I think it would have been a closer race, but I just think from the support I saw Kia receive during the election, I think the reason why people didn't run against her is because they knew they probably weren't going to win, and so that's my personal opinion.
And like you already said, the incumbents, it's hard to beat an incumbent. Yeah. You're right. Okay. Yeah. I'll give you that.
So let's look at and congratulations to Kia Chambers and all the other candidates that have been successful, and thank you again to the candidates. Those that ran and were not successful, you have assisted us in having a political discourse in this city that is absolutely necessary. And, you know, we have to have these conversations. We have to consider our options. You know, I think it's a miscarriage to the sacrifices of so many people that fought for us to have rights to run for office and to vote when we allow elections to go unopposed. People should always have choices, and we want to promote those choices. So let's turn now to District 10, at-large city council. Oof. We had three candidates in the race: Amy Bryan, Tyler Stroh, and John House. Mm-hmm.
That was the biggest surprise of the night for me.
Me
because
too.
I just knew Tyler Stroh and Amy Bryant were going to be in the runner.
Me too.
That, when I saw John, and early on, he was out there.
Bro, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it's like a light switch. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, well, Team yeah. Stroh, where you at?
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people were on Facebook, social media, taking pictures with him. But when they went in the booth, no. That's my opinion. And I think the biggest problem was I don't think people... what I've heard, but I believe this. People didn't want to deal with Gloria Stroh on the city council because she would be there. So, but, and I really thought Tolly had a good chance of winning. So that was, to me, I really thought he was going to win. I didn't endorse him. But I, in my mind, I said, if you go by social media, which I've learned not to do, I thought he'd be a shoo-in. But voters didn't vote.
And I just thought that was interesting. We continue to talk about the number of registered voters here in the city, particularly the registered number of African American voters. And you had a three-way race citywide with two Caucasian candidates and one African American candidate. And the two Caucasian candidates ended up in a runoff. That was just kind of shocking to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just kind of looking through some of the precincts in the race. I was a little surprised at how well the white candidates in the race did in some predominantly African American precincts.
Mm-hmm.
We have, as best as I can tell, we have I think it's about 8 precincts in Columbus with over 3,000 registered active and inactive voters in them, and that's Winton United Methodist Church, Columbus Public Library, St. John AME, Casita Road, Our Lady of Lourdes, Mount Pilgrim, Faith Tabernacle, Fort Middle School, and Rothschild. And so those are the big kind of large precincts with a heavy share of African-American voters. And Amy managed to win Faith Tabernacle, which is a big one. She won Rothschild and Our Lady of Lourdes. And so when you have a race like this and there's an African-American candidate in the race, you really have to be able to perform well in some of these larger precincts and just try not to get crushed in some of the other races. I know people get a little uncomfortable when we talk about race and voting, but it's real, and it just kind of happens on both sides.
I mean, anybody who's not comfortable talking about race and voting has ignored every election in Columbus in the past.
Yeah.
Because you can draw precincts based on the color of the candidate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's be realistic here. And I'm just analyzing the numbers. So, you know, fault me for speaking the truth, or, you know, call me Wayne Hill Jr. But, you know, the numbers are the numbers.
Yeah.
And so if we can't analyze the numbers, then, you know, I'm sorry, turn your radio off or something. But the truth is the truth.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line, think of it, and I look at it this way with the numbers.
Hmm.
If everybody who had voted for Kia, voted for Tally, voted for Zeff, yeah, I mean, so, but people vote for people they like.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, in my opinion, people vote for people they like.
If I'm not mistaken, it was Dominic who wrote a piece in your paper that stated that for some reasons, African-Americans are extremely more critical of African-American candidates than they are Caucasian.
He did. Yep, he did.
Do you think there's some validity in that statement?
I do. Okay. I do. And it's wrong because it's like, it's wrong. Even when in your race, when you're looking at, okay, you got, and I'm not off of degrees stuff, but if you look at it, if the candidate got a degree, a college degree, and this candidate, white candidate, got a high school diploma, it just stands for me. It's like, why are we even having this conversation? You know, because as parents, we always want our kids, we say, hey, go to school, get a good education. Mm-hmm. But when we do that, and then we totally ignore that when it comes to our candidates, you're right. So, yeah.
That's problematic. Okay. All right, well, let's keep moving on here. In the interest of time here, we had down in District 2, a Board of Education race, we had a three-way race with Bart Sneed and...
Bart Sneed.
And Edmondson.
Yep.
And McCrane.
Yep.
And we have a runoff coming up between Bart Sneed and Edmondson. What's your thoughts on that one, Dom?
That race was another one that was pretty close. Edmondson got 1,868 votes. McCrane pulled out 898. And Steve pulled out 1,172. So Edmondson was the highest vote getter in the race.
Which was strange because a lot of people didn't know. But I understand he's been an educator for like 30 years.
Yeah. And
he's kind of like that Pop Barnes campaign. You don't touch everybody's child.
Yeah.
And he's at Jordan High School too. Yeah. For you.
Which is that district.
Yeah, and I think when you have that type of, like, people really, like I said earlier, it's about personal relationships. Mm-hmm. And he has personal relationships with people. I heard folks saying, you know, he taught my child, he knew this person, he knew that person, he, you know, did all these different types of things. Mm-hmm. So when you've got a candidate like that, I think you're destined to do well. Mm-hmm. And he did very well at the Weissville Road precinct. He pulled out 802 votes out of that one precinct in the race.
Wow.
So that's a pretty dominant performance in one precinct.
Wow. Well, it's going to be interesting because, you know, I kind of felt like it wasn't official, but it kind of felt like Bart Sneed was the establishment's candidate. Mm-hmm. Like, he was the one that was giving, like, the thumbs up, if you will. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the way it felt a little bit. So this was a little surprising for me. But
you know, now, one other thing I did want to say is one trend I've been noticing with the school board is people are starting to default to folks with experience in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And so Edmondson as a teacher.
Kia as a teacher.
And so when people have that type of experience, and I mean, it's understandable. It is understandable. You want people who really know, they understand both sides of it.
That's understandable. Let's jump down to District 7, talk a little bit about Victory Drive and South Lumpkin Road and those areas over there, Bibbs City, Overlook, and those areas with Mimi Woodson and Jeremy Hobbs and Sia Edamate.
Sia Edamate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What you thought about that, Wayne?
My thing with them, those... Sia Edamate and Jeremy Hobbs, they're like single issue candidates. And when I met with them, Sia is truthfully, he was only concerned about historic district, where he lived, where he worked. You know,
I was shocked at his interview in your paper, like that he actually said.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, but that's what he said. And Jeremy, I like Jeremy, but Jeremy is strictly LGBTQ, which is fine. But he came off that way in the interview, you know, and I think he would be good. But, you know, it's and not that that's all it's about. And that's fine. But he just needs to be a little bit more, you know, universal in his thinking.
Well, one thing I will say is that I felt in this race that Mimi were under a lot of attacks. Every other day, Jeremy was on Facebook talking about her, saying she's stealing his platform and all that, which was totally erroneous and some other things and you know, it, but for her to withstand that and not even have to go into a runoff when you're in a three-candidate race, you know, I think, you know.
It's impressive.
It was impressive.
Yeah.
It was indeed impressive. And so congratulations to Mimi Woodson down there in District 7. And, we're, you know, we're certainly going to continue to keep our eyes on things in that area. And let's move over to two more races left. Let's move over to District 8. School board. I think this was the only incumbent that wasn't successful.
Yeah, I think we'll let Wayne take the lead on this one.
Hey, when you talk about boot the board and then you get the boot, hey, you said be careful what you ask for.
Be careful what you ask for.
They booted his hind paws right on out. And,
man,
and, you know,
I mean, it was an ugly defeat.
Mm-hmm. Hey, yeah, and as he said, by an old man, you know, an octogenarian beat him.
Wow.
You know, you don't talk all that smacking and lose like that. That's crazy.
I knew something was up. I was tracking early vote numbers. Mm-hmm. I think I shared it with a couple of people. But I was tracking early vote numbers, and so I had breakdowns by district of how the early vote totals were going. And if I remember correctly, early voting was down from 2014. I want to say it was 7.6% as an average, like across the whole city.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one district where early vote numbers were up. It was only up by 1%, mm-hmm. but it was up. And that was District 8.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew that when early vote numbers were up in that particular district that there was something going on. And it's rare that you have something defy the average by, you know, 8.6 points, and they're coming out for an incumbent. So I kind of had a feeling there was some stuff going on over there.
I think people were tired of the divisiveness that he brought to the board. And my understanding is that the white community was tired of it. You know, they were like, okay, this is too much.
So these new people won't take office until January of 2019. So do you expect the school board means to be electrifying down to that time?
I don't think anybody, no. I don't, I mean, I don't think he's going to raise that much hell. He's so much realized. Unless, I don't know what they can do. You know, I would hope that I sent this to Kia. I would hope that Kia would put together whatever needs to happen with the differences between Pat Hughley Green and that they need to come together and move the board forward. I think you're right.
Have you
the
made
numbers
the same
showed,
suggestion to Pat?
Huh?
Have you made the
They've
same all, suggestion
yeah,
to
yeah,
Pat?
I've had a conversation with them.
Okay.
So, oh, yeah. I mean, I'm going to give
I'm
both
just,
ways.
I'm
yeah.
just asking,
but no,
you
yeah,
know.
I did. We had that conversation with her.
Shoulders, you know?
I had that conversation with her.
But I know both of them personally, and I do feel that both of them have the character and the temperament to come together and have a professional conversation.
Right, and that's all I'm saying, because now with the divisiveness gone, they can really move. And I told, you know, as a leader of the board, now you can really move this board forward. Mm-hmm. If we come together and whatever it is between the two of y'all, let's clear the air and let's move it forward.
So let's get down to the big monster in the room, the mayor. The face of Columbus, Georgia for the next 4 years at least, starting in January of 2019. It was a six-candidate race that didn't even get close.
Two-candidate race.
To a runoff.
More like two.
A two-candidate race from the get-go, really.
That didn't get close to a runoff. Dominic, you want to break those numbers down for us?
Yeah. So in this race, again, just in terms of the numbers, it really was a two-candidate race. Skip finished with 13,495 votes, and Zeph finished with 7,662 votes.
And I think a surprise on the Secretary of State race was that Josh McCone didn't make the runoff.
No, he didn't. No, he did not make the runoff. No.
And he came in third place, so he just did miss it by like 40,000 votes.
Yeah, it was a pretty close one.
Well, you know, he says his political career is not over. We'll see what happened. And Randy Robinson won the primary up there for the state senate race, and which was interesting to see how some of the same people dragging Zeph was also willing to say, and Randy's a good friend of mine, but there were some legitimate conversations proposed that brought up, and they were saying, you know, oh, that's his past, let it go. So, but congratulations to Randy. Anyway, I know he's going to do a great job. He's a person I can call and talk to if there's any issue. So we gotta keep these connections. Yes, sir.
Do you think Stacey has a good chance of winning?
Yeah, I think she has an opportunity to win.
What's it gonna take?
It's gonna take more than the voter turnout that we saw during this primary.
Yeah, and probably about 20 to 24. I'd put it at 18 to 24 million dollars. She's gonna have to raise some serious money. She's gonna have to raise some serious money. We're gonna have to have in some of the. I always say in Democratic primaries, Metro Atlanta decides Democratic primaries, and the rest of the state decides the general election for Democrats. So it's really going to take running strong campaigns in places like Augusta, Savannah, Macon, Columbus, Albany, some of the larger counties outside of Metro Atlanta. Is going to take running very, very strong efforts, like never before seen efforts, in order for her to pull it out.
But I applaud Stacey Evans for already getting out there saying, let's get behind her and let's fight. So hopefully Stacey Abrams can, you know, swallow a little of her pride and pull Stacey Evans in and go ahead and utilize her.
Yeah.
Work with her. Let her be a face, because it's all about, for them, it's about turning Georgia blue.
Yeah.
Well, this has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I hope you've enjoyed the conversation. But most importantly, I really hope as a community that we go ahead and get the jump now on the 2020 elections. Let's go ahead and identify some strong candidates. Let's have announcements early. Let's not wait until the week of qualifying to say, oh, I'm going to run for office. Because you see, well, you know, we're at a huge disadvantage financially. We're at a huge disadvantage as it relates to getting people out. And this is a grind work, a grunt work, and you got to get out there and do it, and you got to have the time to do it. So let's see what we can do for 2020. I'm looking forward to the upcoming election in 2 years. Who knows what may happen? You may see Teddy Reese again. I don't know. We're going to see what happens. But at any rate, this has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I hope you've enjoyed listening to it, and see you again next Sunday.
The views and expressions of Sunday Conversations are not the views of Davis Broadcasting Incorporated, advertisers, nor their staff. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversation? Come and join me, Teddy Reese. Send me an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.